I know I'm heaven bound, glory to God, but I'm in no hurry to make the trip. Got too much to do. My, don't push me, don't push me. What a faithful God we serve. Life is so rich and wonderful. As I traveled much of the world, I don't do as much as I used to, but I find that the gospel is still the power of God, and it's still changing lives and changing nations. God is moving in our nation of Mexico. We had the 10th year that we call We Are One in Spanish, Somos Uno. We had over 2,000 people this past January that attended three-day meeting, trying to bring unity to the body of Christ. That unity in the body of Christ is the thing that we need to bring a world revival. Prophet friend of ours had a vision, saw a great big door with two locks on each side. One said prayer. It was open. The other one said unity, and it was still closed. How we need each other, members of one body, and how desperate we are. As I was praying this morning and praying last night, been praying since I knew I was coming, what would you have me to share? I find that this church is animated and rejoicing, but I felt like I'd like to share with you how to be the happiest person, the most blessed, hallelujah, and fruitful that you can find. And that is just to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, just to live to bless, just to live to share, just to live to give. How to be happiest person in an unhappy world. The world we live in is very unhappy because many of them don't know the source of true happiness and joy. Happiness is often depends on exterior positive blessings, but blessings are born in the heart and they are more consistent and more permanent. Praise and glory be unto God. I've preached all over the world, and I found that you never miss it when you begin to exalt the person of Jesus and challenge people to walk in his footsteps, because life is too short. Life is too short. Eternity is too long to live for the temporal things of a passing world, because when we live for the temporal, we have to leave them. When we live for the eternal, we'll have those rewards forever and ever and ever. Open your Bibles this morning to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning in verse 35. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatever we shall desire. He said unto them, What would you that I should do for you? They said, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and one on thy left hand in glory, in thy glory. But Jesus said to them, You know not what you ask. Can you drink the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, We can. Jesus said unto them, You shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized, whither shall you be baptized? But to sit on my right hand or my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to those for whom it is prepared. When the 10 heard that, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, You know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them, but so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Oh my, this portion of scripture tells us where greatness, the source of greatness and the source of blessing is to live just to serve and live just to bless. Yes. And you have an opportunity. Life is full of opportunities. And many times we miss it because we're so busy, things that won't amount to two pennies in eternity. We need to live conscious of the brevity of life and the vastness of eternity. James said life is like just a shadow. And Job said in Job 7:7, life is like a breath. It's compared to eternity. Take a deep breath, and that's how long this life is regard to the life beyond the grave. And how we need to labor. See, when you take a servant's role, you're walking in the footsteps of Jesus. He didn't come to get. The world lives to get. But Jesus lived to give. And his true church lives to give and to walk in his footsteps. To be great is to be servant of all. Jesus said, so true. But there's a self-seeking spirit robs people of so much of the eternal, so much that they could have forever if they would. When we live only to give, we'd never live to lack. I formed a saying many years ago, he that lives to serve and to give will never live to lack any good thing. And God is such a giver. Praise his name. When we live for others, we are serving our Lord Jesus. He said, inasmuch as you do the least of these, referring to the hungry, the thirsty, the needy, he said, you ministered unto me. We have been involved in helping orphanages and little children go to school without breakfast and in the mountains of Mexico. And we just found a lady that has 150 girls at all ages. Most of them are mentally affected some way. And we've been sending food to them by the truckload or busload, and we find that there's so many opportunities to bless when we are open to God's voice. I not only preach from 1 to 3 times a week in the churches, but our living room is normally a pulpit. People come seeking counsel and seeking help, and we do our best to serve them and to bless them. There's so many. The greatest gifts I've received didn't have a thing to do with a big check. It's been love that has been expressed by deeds. Faith worketh by love. And when we love God with all of our heart, giving is as natural as breathing. It comes a lifestyle where you get up in the morning, who can I bless today? Who can I share with today? Whose burden can I lift today? Who can I encourage today? We have so much to give. It hadn't got a thing to do with money, a smile, a prayer. When's the last time you told your pastors you appreciated them? The last time you told someone that helped you in a time of trouble how much they meant their words of encouragement? We have so many opportunities. Someone has well said, God's richest gifts to us are not things, temporal, but opportunities. And life is so full of opportunities. Also said that when we have to take advantage of every opportunity, because sometimes we only have one chance to share Jesus with Christ with others. I meet people from time to time, sometimes on the streets of Mexico City in a village, and they bless me saying, Brother Wayne, 20 years ago I received Jesus when you preached in a given city. And I've been pastoring for the last 15 years, and I don't remember them, but God does, and he keeps the records. I'm not trying to get any brownie points with God. Jesus got all the brownie points I need at Calvary. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The greatest gift I ever received was from a woman that I traveled on an old bus for 7 hours over a mountain trail in the state of Oaxaca, and it was raining and muddy and no guardrail. And I spent 7 hours in uninterrupted prayer. I remind God he didn't save me for those kamikazes in the Pacific War that let that kid kill me on a Mexican mountainside. We had 4 tons of merchandise on that truck. And to make the trip more interesting, there was a 16-year boy at the wheel. I about wore out my dedicator, rededicating. Finally, we got out of off of that truck, and I had an open praise service in a pagan village. So glad to be alive. And so glad, but I had to walk 2.5 hours, and my shoes were inadequate. After about halfway of carrying a bunch of Bibles and a sleeping bag and a small suitcase, my feet wanted to give out. They were just in agony. And we finally got to a village called, in Spanish, it's called El Porvenir. In English, it'd be the future. My feet thought it'd been misnamed. Thought it should have been named the end of two missionaries' feet. I was sitting under a tree fighting not to cry. My left foot was crying, have mercy. My right foot was questing the delay. And all of a sudden, a pagan peasant woman came out of a little hut with a great big pan, ice cold, crystal clear spring water. She knelt at my feet without saying a word, again, take off my shoes. I said, sister, what plan do you bring? Said, I'm going to bathe your feet. I said, no way. My odious, sweaty feet. She looked up and a tear began to course down her cheek. And she said, hermano Wayne, no me robe la bendición de lavar los pies de un siervo de mi Señor. Don't rob me of the blessing of bathing the feet of a servant of my Lord. I said, woman, you make the simple complicated. Why didn't you just take a no? She bathed my feet, see if they were costly crystal. And as this woman that I didn't know washed my feet, it was my turn to cry. I've been preaching now since about 70 years on the field. But I have yet to receive a gift of that quality since then. That was the greatest gift I've ever received. What a refreshing. As she bathed my feet, as I sat there and cried, she was a giver. She was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, who came not to get but to give. Praise his wonderful name. And see, when you live to bless, live to share, and live to give, then there are many benefits. It will break your fear of the future. Many Christians are so insecure, they can't even turn loose what they don't need because they're afraid that they'll need it in a rainy day. If you're looking for rain, hold on to it. You'll get wet. Faith has never been disappointed in the negative as well as the positive realm. See, we find 2 Timothy 1:7 says, perfect love casteth out fear. I'm not afraid of tomorrow because God will be just as big tomorrow and just as faithful tomorrow as he is today. It is true that a person can give without love, but you can't be baptized in divine love and not be a giver. It's a part of the package. Giving is a part of the very nature of God's love for forsaking our hearts. Praise his wonderful name. If you are worrying, you're putting too much load on a 24-hour circuit. If you are worrying about tomorrow, today, you are overloading the circuits. Because God made us to be renewed on a 24-hour basis. So much sleep, so much food. And when you're worrying unnecessarily, you're overloading the circuits. If you're not careful, you'll blow a fuse. Somebody said a clock on the wall began to think, I sure am doing a lot of ticking. So many ticks a minute. so many ticks an hour, so many tickets a day. He got to thinking about how much he was ticking, and he just, in desperation, fell off the wall. Life, my life is what you make it. You can enjoy life or you can endure it. You can live victorious or live in defeat. It's up to you, but it takes a complete dedication. God didn't want your heart on the installment plan. God wants all of it for one at one time. Praise the wonderful name of Jesus. Don't cross tomorrow's bridges today. Live a day at a time. Give us this day our daily bread. Some people are saying, God, since I have your attention, I'd feel better if you'd give me tomorrow's bread today. And then go, what about 40 years in advance? And some of them arrive at having stored away for 40 years and eat dry, crusted bread the rest of their life. I like fresh bread baked in the ovens of heaven with country butter from a Jersey cow. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's a lifestyle that blows your mind. All your relatives want to take you to the psychiatrist. They can't understand how you could be live so secure and have nothing but God's promises. That's all you need. There's 7,000 of them. Praise God forever. Hallelujah. I knew a man down in Mexico told me, said, I was so afraid I wouldn't have enough because the corn crop was weak. And they only gave me 5,000 pesos for my corn crop. I put it on top of my handkerchief in my pocket. But in the bank, I heard a voice saying, don't be foolish. 5,500 pesos is a lot of tithe. Your pastor's got new shoes. You don't have any new shoes. So he decided not to tithe. When he went outside, he had to sneeze. He pulled his handkerchief out and pulled the corn crop out with him. It fell on the ground, but a strong wind beat him to the corn crop, took it heavenward, would belong to God anyway. And he said, Lord, I was just teasing. I'm going to tithe. But he missed it because he was so insecure, he lost it all. A woman in Veracruz told her husband, met a pastor on the street, said, you know, I just sold my mango crop for 25,000 pesos, about $2,000, and they're going to take the mangoes off the trees. I don't even have to even harvest them. And when she left her pastor, she gave him a peso to buy Pepsi Cola. Didn't pay the tithe. 2 weeks, the house got on fire, burned up the $2,000 or 25,000 pesos and all of her furniture. Then the river came up and washed a bunch of cows down the river toward the sea, all because she didn't have enough gratitude in her heart to give to God. About 80 years ago, this happened in north of Mexico City. At least 60 years ago, the man told me this story. He said, I grew tomatoes and I had my land was irrigated. And I always had good crop. And one year I made 40,000 pesos when the peso was on the par with the dollar back many years ago. And said, I heard a voice saying 4,000 pesos tithe, too much. I don't want to ruin my pastor. Some people can handle multitudes, but think the pastor couldn't handle 4,000 pesos. So he named himself the treasurer of God's money. That's a very dangerous thing when you touch what doesn't belong to you. And so the next year he had a failure. But before that he had his workers with his desk. They was paying him every week. And then 3 years he had crop failures. He's deep in debt. The fourth year had great big tomatoes, and he thought, I'm going to get out of debt this year. He went to Mexico City to find a buyer about 2 hours north of Mexico City. And while he was there, a hailstorm came and didn't leave him one green tomato. Lost his land, lost everything, all because he didn't tithe. And in Mexico, they sell gelatin, a little package of gelatin, for 5 or 10 pesos, 5 or 10 cents back then. He ended up feeding his family, going out and hollering, gelatines, 5 and 10 cents apiece. He said, all because I didn't honor God. You're not smarter than God if you're not a tither. God's ways, you see, there's two things that happen to a non-tither. He's not aware of the blessings he's missing for his obedience, and not aware of the blessing of the curses that's pursuing him for his disobedience. God is wanting men and women that'll honor him. So when your first blessing, if you live this lifestyle, is it breaks the fear of tomorrow. And living to give guarantees daily bread. Seek ye first of my kingdom, Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, and everything you need will be added. We've proven God for seven decades. Praise his wonderful name. And Psalms 37:25 said, I was young, and I guess I can say the same thing. And now I'm old, and I am. But I've not seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging bread. Hallelujah. I haven't either. Praise God. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all that you need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. My. How often we fail to recognize that God knows our name and address and unlisted phone number. Praise his wonderful name. He promised bread for each day. The Lord's Prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. God will take care of the tomorrows. Learn to trust the source of life. Know that your Heavenly Father is a giver of God so loved that he gave. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, and there is no variable, is neither shadow of turning. Did you read yesterday, in the paper here in Fort Worth yesterday about those blackbirds falling out of heaven from starvation? You didn't read it? I didn't either. God feeds the birds. God feeds the birds. And he'll feed you if you'll honor him. Hallelujah. You know, I started tithing as a kid. My dad taught me to tithe, and I didn't know how to count the money that he'd give me to spend. And the reason I lost my hair is I've been standing under so many open windows. And God has poured so many blessings on my coconut. It rubbed the hair off. That's a good reason to be a bald head. Just let God pour it on until it rubs your hair off. Praise and glory be unto God. God fed Israel for 40 years in the desert. But he gave it to it on a day-by-day basis. Fed Elijah 2.5 years by the brook, bread and meat twice a day. Fed by a raven, an unclean fowl. If God can't get his people to back his kingdom, he can speak to the unsaved to put bread on your table. That's what he used that. I don't know why he didn't use a dove, but he used a raven to feed Elijah for 2.5 years. You see, where God leads, he feeds. What God ordains, he sustains. I've proven it for my wife and I had all these years. Millions outside of the rich America and the Western world, they know nothing about saving accounts and retirement plans, primarily in outside of the Western world. And so they live day by day. I know dear Indian brothers in Mexico that just enough to stay alive, bless their hearts. We bless as many of them as we can. The Christian community, many years ago, I read this, has $850 billion unused surplus, but they can't release it. They're too insecure. How much they'll have to answer for in eternity. You know something? I got this thought as the other day I was preaching on eternity. That usually a will is left to those that your heirs after you leave this world. But the Christian is writing his will every day. The way you live is determining what you'll have once you leave this world. Because Jesus said, behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me. Give every man according to his works may be in Revelation 22:12. And that's true. We are writing our will the way we live. We make a decision to follow Christ as many did today. But we also make a decision. We determine how much will be waiting for us on the other side. I don't want to go to heaven empty-handed, shame-faced, looking for a back door, embarrassed to go through the main gate. I want a glorious entrance into His presence. Hallelujah. As good as I feel this morning in this atmosphere, it'd be worth your trip to heaven just to watch me dance through the gate. David danced before the ark. I'm going to teach David a dance step he didn't know. I'm going to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, my Lord and my God. Glory to His name. Hallelujah. You determine what your rewards are. You decide in this life, in this brief life, you are making either you're sending a plank, figuratively speaking, or a brick. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. In Spanish, it says many dwelling places. And I think that's more correct. But every time you do a good deed, every time you pray for somebody, every swallow means 20 minutes more.
There's a little, there's a shelf right there, and there's water in that.
Oh, I didn't see it. All right. Oh, Shandar! Somebody asked the brother, just got filled with the Holy Ghost, didn't know anything. He says, you don't even know what Shandai means. What are you hollering, Shandai? Oh, I know what it means. Say, praise God, I've got it. Hallelujah. I've got Him, the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Oh, what a way to live. What a day. What a day to live when Jesus Christ is Lord of your time, your resources, and your talents. Praise and glory be unto God. Living to give will break the materialistic spirit that's trying to crowd you out of God's blessings. Yes, sir. We live in a materialistic world. Devil is always, we say in Spanish, the devil is trying to give us a cat for a rabbit. And how true it is. It will break and destroy the materialistic spirit that is constant. The devil's constantly trying to put on us. The world says, get all you can all you get, and poison the rest. And Jesus says, give and you'll always have. Oh, you'll always have. I've proven it all these years, my wife and I have. Praise God forever. But sometimes it reminds me of a story they tell me about two men had been preaching up in the mountains of the state of Nuevo León, which is joins El Paso, Texas. Part of it does, or it goes in that direction. And they came into a town halfway between Monterrey and Laredo, and they have a lot of tourists stopping there. And they were hungry but broke. One with the faith said, let us go in here and eat in this fancy restaurant. One that didn't have any faith says, what will we pay with? He said, I don't know, but the Bible says the labor is worthy of his hire. And don't put a muzzle on the ox that treads out the corn. I'm worth more than oxen, so I'm going to eat. He went in full of faith. The other one along behind him, frightened, you know. Then the waitress came and said, what can I do for you? Said, I'm on a steak about that thick that covers the steak plate. With baked potatoes and a bowl of beans. And he went ahead to list whatever he wanted. And you, sir, said, una tacita de café, por favor. Give me a small cup of coffee. He thought, they won't put me in jail for a cup of coffee. This man may never get out when they find out he can't pay. He ate while the other one watched him, while his stomach growled, empty. Finally, when he got through eating, the nurse said, and the dessert, said, I want a half of an apple pie with three balls of vanilla ice cream on top of it, and coffee. More coffee, talking to the man that had the cup, little cup. He said, no, one's enough. So when they got through eating, the one that had the faith jumped up, went to the cashier and said, how much do I owe you? Knowing he didn't have anything in his pocket. The cashier said, the bill has been paid. He said, who paid it? He said, there were some Americans sitting next to you people, tourists, and they noticed you bowed your head in a public place and gave thanks for the food, and they were so impressed they paid the bill. Hallelujah. That's my God. That's my God. That's my God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Both of them went out with pains in their stomach. One for having overeaten. Other for not having eaten. Oh my, you, when you live to give, you never live to lack any good thing. Hallelujah. It just breaks the fear of tomorrow. You're not afraid, and that materialistic spirit can't grab you. It tells us in the Word of God over and over again that if we honor God, He honors us. Praise His wonderful name. Hallelujah. I've got to hurry. My introductions are long. Says in the Word, if riches increase, don't let them possess you. Hallelujah. Always help you to see things in the light of eternity. You see material possessions as tools to bless others rather than goals to be gained. There's no security in this world. There's no security outside of God. You can go to bed wealthy and wake up in the morning broke. But if you've got your treasures in the heavenly bank, there's no inflation, no chance of being robbed, or no chance of default. Hallelujah. And it grows good interest. God pays good interest on your investment in His kingdom. You see, in 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, look at not at things that are seen, they're temporal, but the things that are not seen, for they're eternal. Hallelujah. And Colossians 3:1 says, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things above where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Oh, don't let the world sell your bill of goods. Live to bless, live to give, live to share, live to support the local church and their vision, and you'll find out life takes on the flavor of a Georgia peach. Hallelujah. Sweet, 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 sweet. Or Mexican mango. I'm from Veracruz. Living to give qualifies you to handle the abundance that this lifestyle will bring. I've seen this teaching produce many miracles of finance around the world, from Africa to Asia. I know what God will do when you walk in the light of His Word and your heart is right, your motive is pure. You don't negotiate with God. It gives me nausea to hear somebody say, give 10 and you'll get 100. Give the 10 because you love God. You may get the 100, but not because you're negotiating. You get because you love Him. You give because you love Him. You give because He's the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Materialism is just another word for selfishness. Luke 12:15 said it teaches very clearly that we are not to get involved with that, the temporal. That's right after the story of the rich man that Jesus called a fool. Someone has well said, when a man prospers, either God gains a partner or Satan gains another fool. I'm afraid that's true. Or when a man prospers, either God gains a fortune or loses a man. There's tremendous power in money. Don't be afraid of it, but don't let it possess you. Know how to handle it. Man got testified in church, said, when I got my first $10, I gave it to God. I got my first $100, I gave it to God, and now I'm a millionaire. Woman sitting on the front seat raised her hand and said, I dare you to do it again. Just ruined his testimony. There's great power in money. Just know how to handle it. Can be a blessing or a curse. Water will drown you, but you have to drink it to stay alive. Oh, my, many inheritances, instead of being a blessing, it's divided families, ended up a curse. I've told this before, but it fits here, so I'll tell it again. There was a poor man, had a heart problem, and he inherited $1 million. And so they didn't know how to tell him. The lawyer was afraid to tell him that he was a millionaire for fear that he'd have a heart attack and die. So he went to the pastor. The pastor, you've got a man in your church that's poor, but he's got a weak heart. And he just inherited $1 million. I don't know how to tell him. Pastor, don't worry, lawyer friend. I'll break the news to him real gently. So pastor went to him and says, Deacon Jones, if you inherit $1 million, what you do with it? Without hesitation, he said, oh, pastor, I love you so much, I'd give you half of it. Then the pastor had a heart attack and fell over dead. Half a million dispatched him. My. Living to give will get you out of debt. Oh, no man anybody but a debt of love. Be careful of debts. The world's been said the credit card is the greatest invention since the wheel. Helps you buy things you don't need with money you don't have to impress people you don't like. I'm afraid that's true in some cases. My. A man, I was preaching in Mexico in one of the villages. Man owed 2 million pesos. He promised 100,000 pesos. In a year's time, God got him out of debt. He paid off his debt, straightened up his business, gave him a 4-bedroom house. God is no man's debtor. God is no man's debtor. He keeps beautiful. He doesn't always sell the council Saturday night. You wish he would sometimes, but he doesn't. But he's never slack in keeping his word. He may be late, but he's never. You wish he could be early, but sometimes it looks like he's getting there late. But he always gets there just at the right time. They tell the story, and it happened over 110 years ago in Philadelphia. A pastor got to church that morning, saw a little girl in her tattered clothing standing outside crying. Said, young lady, why are you crying? Said, I wanted to go to Sunday school. They told me there wasn't any room for me. So he took and put her in Sunday school. She was 10 years old. At 12 years old, she died. Her mother was a widow. They had nothing. Pastor Berta, they found in her limited possessions a little purse that a girl would have. In the purse, they found a tithing envelope. And she, in her own handwriting, she's written an offering to help build another room for the kids that want to go to Sunday school. They found 57 cents American money. She didn't know what it cost, but she gave what you have. In a life of giving, you start where you are, not where you wish you were. You share what you have. Such as I have, I give, Peter said to the lady man at the beautiful gate, Acts 3 and 6. So he told the church that got the newspaper. So a man called the pastor the next day and said, Pastor, for those 57 cents, I'll give you $250,000. And he did. Today, after 110 years, there's three institutions known around the world, Temple Church, Temple University, and Temple Hospital, all because a little girl gave what she had. Despise not things, however weak or small. God loves to use and choose it, and greatly use. God loves to receive and greatly use that which men count nothing at all. She didn't know that when she sold that 57 cents, someday there'd be three institutions known around the world. Praise and glory be unto God. God is looking for men and women that will live only to bless and only to give. Living to give will add a contagious joy to your life. Vitamin J. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 8:10. A joyful Christmas is the best advertisement that the gospel can ever have. I was with Christ the Nations preaching in a banquet in Chattanooga, Tennessee many years ago. And I was walking down the streets of Chattanooga. I didn't know anybody there, and I was whistling to keep from shouting. And a woman stopped on the street and said, why are you whistling? I said, is there a city ordinance that prohibits it? Said, no, I just have been so long since I've seen anybody that happy. In rich America, a man whistling stopped traffic. I said, lady, the whistle's on the inside. It's Jesus. She was a Christian. She had some time of fellowship. You never know. You never know. You never know what God will do when you let your light shine for his kingdom. Oh, the joy that comes when we serve others. When we bless those that can't bless us back. when we really give to Jesus, according to Matthew 25. And he said, I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty and you gave me to drink, naked and you clothed me, sick and in prison and you visited me. And they said, we don't remember you, us ever doing that for you, that we ever did that for you. And he said, inasmuch as you do it to the least of these, you do it unto me. When we bless others, it's as if Jesus were standing there and we're blessing him. Praise and glory be unto God. Bigness of God is so real to one who embraces this lifestyle. You can learn that the increase that will come, it won't hurt you. You just see it as a means to get the means to get the gospel to men and women outside of the, that you haven't reached yet. Praise and glory be unto God. I've watched what God will do when people. I remember a man gave $10,000 when I was preaching in Christ for Nation, one of their conferences. He was a lawyer, and he went back down to Houston, and one of his friends that never gave anything, pastor said, he said, friend, meet me at a certain agency. Pick out the car you want. So that he didn't expect to give me, God gave him a brand new car for that investment. I was preaching in California about 3 or 4 years ago, and with Art Aragon, a great man of God, friend of ours for many years, he took up a missionary offering for me, after which I didn't. Let me say something. I'm not here to preach because I'm in need, or we are in need. God is so faithful to meet our needs. We're here to bless you in Jesus' name with this word and encourage you to live a lifestyle that will enrich you till you see Jesus face to face, to challenge you. But we are doing great. Praise God forever. Hallelujah. So two men gave I think most of them must have given $5,000 apiece. I don't know. Offer was about $12,000. I didn't expect it, didn't go for it. I had raised money to help him. He was reconditioning a building he was renting. And he wrote, his secretary called us the next week, said, you know, one of those men that gave a big offering says the next week took off. He owed $140,000 check was debt. Was canceled. Another one owed $154 and his was canceled. All because they invested in the kingdom of God. Don't limit God. Don't limit God. Don't limit God. Dare to live to bless with what you have, and God knows how to multiply it. Praise and glory be unto God. Oh, my. I've got to close. My introductions are too long. But oh, what a lifestyle to live, this lifestyle. When you only live to bless, it just puts vitamin J in your life. And you can't go under for going over. You can't sink for swimming. Hallelujah. I'm not teaching something I got out of a sermon book. I'm sharing 72 years of trusting God, 70 years on the mission field. One brother said, you know, I'm praying God will give you the life of Moses. I thought, who are you to limit God? Oh, my. It's a life that's so rich and so wonderful that people think you're crazy. Never sharing a personal need with anybody but God in prayer, never barring. When God called me to Mexico, I've got to quit. He said, I put 3 restrictions on your ministry. I won't permit you to buy anything on credit, and I'm not against those that do. I just prefer to, I like God's easy credit plan, all cash and no payments. And said, I won't permit you to buy anything on credit. I won't permit you to tell your personal needs to anybody but me in prayer. And he said, I won't permit you to borrow 10 pennies for anybody. For all these 70 years on the mission field, we've been able to live under those conditions. And what a glorious walk it is. Oh, yeah. Oh, my. Jesus is so real, so wonderful, so faithful. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, my. Brother Bob, whoever's going to take over, show up. I'm about through. Maybe. If first notice. No, come on up. Praise God forever. It's a life that's so wonderful, so blessed. We're feeding Indian children. We're feeding orphan children. We're helping give scholarships to numbers and numbers of children, young people in Mexico and in Medellin, Colombia, and about six or seven here at Christ for the Nations, or eight. I don't know. I can't explain God's economy. I just enjoy it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, brother. Bless you. Okay. Okay. I've got two books I sell, not to make a profit, but to help. This book, Living Beyond the Possible, a man in the Philippines that has he's got a chain of 900 pharmacies. He's a spirit-filled man. He's putting 100,000 of this book, Living Beyond the Possible, in the hands of 100,000 pastors. And he's printing it himself and paying all expenses. Another man in Switzerland printed this book. And he's left 22 churches, 22 nations in Africa, speak French. And he's sending box loads to French, this book in French across the nation of Africa. And I've also got one-liners that I've picked up through the years. I don't know where I got them all, all profit goes to missions. Don't put a question mark when God puts a period. Give God what's right, not what's left. If Satan doesn't understand the power of the sword of the Spirit, he still gets the point. God loves men of faith so much that he will jump over a million people just to get to the man that's got it. I think Wigglesworth said that. Those books are back there. You can get them for giveaway as gifts. I don't know how many 100,000 have been sold or given. God bless you. I've got to quit. I regret that I can't keep preaching, but my strength is gone. So God bless you. Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, I don't know of a better time or a better way to sow some seed than what we're doing this morning. I don't know about you, but it just charges my heart to see someone that has charges my spirit just to see faithfulness under God. Longevity of service. It pays to serve God. Amen. You cannot outgive God. Cannot outgive God. Anyone else? There should be whatever you put in these buckets. We'll take care of that, and it will go to our brother. Have you been blessed this morning?